You to join me in prayer. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts, Lord, this afternoon be acceptable to you. Amen. I'm going to play a song for you to listen to, and it may sound familiar to some of us. These are some of the familiar Christmas songs or carols that we always hear when Christmas comes. But later I'll share with you the real meaning behind this song, why this song was written. And it has some relation with some meaning for what I'm going to share this evening. We are in the last week of Advent, right? And every week we have family together coming out to burn, to light the Advent candles. But what is the meaning for these four Saturdays? We have been lighting up candles, the Advent candles, 1, 2, 3, 4. And what is the meaning? What is the significance of this lighting of the candles? Firstly, I believe the light of the candle. Candle itself gives out light, and Jesus is the light of the earth. So we are different from other religion. I mean, for me, because I'm in Hokkien worship service Sunday afternoon, many of them would ask, Pastor, why you have candles? Why do you burn candles? We are in our home, we burn candles, and in the temple we burn candles. What is so? I mean, you are the same as us. What's so different about you, your candle? So the explanation I tell them is that light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, and even as we light the four candles, today is the fourth candles, and it will be the last weekend for Advent. But what is the meaning of four candles? Each candle represents certain things. Okay, let me just show you some slides. The first candle is hope, right? The first candle is hope. The second candle is love. And the third candle, joy. And the last candle, which was lit up just a moment ago, speaks of peace. So we have hope, love, joy, and peace. So for us Anglicans, we don't just light the candle for the sake of lighting. It becomes a ritual. It becomes meaningless. But there are four things that we want to remember this afternoon. It speaks of the virtues of Christ. Christ brings hope. He brings love. And he brings joy. And he brings peace to each one of us. And this is what the world really, really needs, especially during this Christmas time. The song that you have just heard, the Christmas carols and Christmas song, is being aired in shopping centers. Everywhere you can hear Christmas songs. One of the most popular songs was sung by Bing Crosby, which we heard in the 1940s, 1943. It is said, "I'll be home for Christmas." Right. Even as you hear this song being sung, being played in the shopping center, and sometimes we will hum this song, and I notice some of you will just and mimic the song, singing this song. It's kind of a nice song. Even as we hear this song and as the tune lingers in our mind, and as well as we hum along, the meaning of the song is actually quite sad and can be quite depressing. Right? The song actually speaks of soldiers, right? Soldiers serving in their country, aboard the ship during the World War II. This song, "I'll Be Home for Christmas," touched the hearts of many Americans, both soldiers and also the civilians who were in the midst of the Second World War. It speaks of the longing of coming home, really longing to come home. The story goes in this song. The story goes that around Christmas time in 1943, the chaplain of this particular ship, battleship North Carolina, knew that the crew was feeling homesick, far away from home, as they expected to be still overseas during this holiday season. Now remember that during that time, there's no internet, there's no WhatsApp, smartphone, no, nothing. Communication, the best way is to telephone and through Telegram. So the crew, all the crew members were very down, very depressed because they're spending Christmas on board the ship. Then the chaplain had an idea, and he collected every member who have children. He collected $5 from each of them that had children at home. Then the chaplain made a list of all that gave him the money for the children, and he sent the money along with the addresses of the sailors' home to a departmental store. With such a connection, the chaplain made arrangement with the departmental store to buy gifts, using the money provided to buy gifts for the soldiers' family, and have the gift mailed to them or delivered to them in time for Christmas. And as Christmas approached during this period, the servicemen on board the ship gathered together for a time of Christmas party. Then the chaplain had a surprise to reveal. He says that money collected actually had been sent to this department store, and then gifts are being delivered to your children at home. At that moment, the ship was filled with joys and with tears, right? They will not be home for Christmas, but what made their home so special was the Christmas gift they received on that day, 25th December 1943. And this song became very popular, "I'll Be Home for Christmas." The songs, I said, "I'll be home for Christmas, you can count on me. Please have the snow and mistletoe present on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, but only in my dreams." So they long to go home. They long to have time of fellowship at home. And Christmas time is somehow you get sentimental. You get this feeling of coming home together for Christmas. And I pray that this Saturday service, many of us are family represented here. This is your family. And you're welcome, most importantly, you're most welcome to this Saturday service where we are. Everyone is a member of God's family. I'll be home for Christmas. People long to go home, especially. I really want to share some of our foreign workers, right? Maids, helpers, domestic helpers. This is a time when they will feel very, very lonely because their loved one is far away. And we as a church, we will provide love, care for them during this Christmas season. He says, "I'll be home for Christmas, but only if only in my dreams." It brings back to the memory of the Bible, come home for Christmas. The Bible says of a home which is much, much better than this earthly home. John chapter 14, verse 1 and to verse 4. This message, I believe, is not only for funerals, but it's for each one of us. The promise of God that He is waiting for us to come home. And in John 14, verses 1 to 4, it says, "Let not your heart," Jesus says, "let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you," Jesus said, "I will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." These are not only precious promises. I believe these are like something commanding. God is commanding us to know that let not your hearts be troubled. It is said that one of the things that's most terrible to face is trouble. When we are faced with trouble, we tend to be very negative and tend to slip back. But Jesus promised that He will take us to a better place, to the home. Not like this song, "I'll be home for Christmas." But God is longing for us to return to Him. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, there's a story, the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son, how a father longs his son to return. God awaits us to return to Him with an outstretched hand. In the parable of prodigal son, the father in the parable of son wait every day, waiting for the son to return. Even as the son returned, he ran after the son, stretched out his hands, and embrace his son. It's a beautiful parable of how God awaits us to return him. And God, with his outstretched arms, longing us to be home with him. But even before that, before our heavenly home happens, God invites us to come together in the church as a family. This is where home is for each one of us. I just want to share today shortly. We're going to spend more time at the amphitheater. I just want to share three points, basically three things for us to ponder this Christmas. Firstly, we want to know God's love. Secondly, God's love in preparation, how he prepares his love. And thirdly, God's love in action. God's love. This Christmas, let us remember three things. God's love in preparation, and God's love in action. The most basic verse, God's love. For God so loved the world. And it's good for us to remember such verses again, that God truly loved the world so much. The world means you, it means me, and it means everyone. God so loved the world. And this is the message of Christmas, that God loved. And many people out there need to hear that. Need to hear that God loves them. I remember once when I was in Taiwan ministering as a missionary, and we had gone through a very difficult time in order to register the church, the church that we planted. It's such a difficult time and a lot of obstacle coming around. I was really, really down. I just cannot concentrate, can't work, because it's so difficult to get the church registered in Taiwan. And I was resting. Carol said one word. My wife Carol says it. He says, God loves you and God loves the people. And that was a real revelation that God has called me to Taiwan because he loved the people. And this verse tells us, this is the message of Christians. God so loved the world that he gave us his only son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Return to the eternal. So the first point we want to recall this afternoon, even as we celebrate this time of Christmas, that God indeed loves each one of us. Many people need to hear that. Secondly, God's love in preparation. How did he prepare to send his son? In Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 26, it is in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. God did it this way. His angel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to an unexpected mother, a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. God himself sent Jesus to go through what every baby goes through. 9 months, 10 months of pregnancy, go to the birth canal of Virgin Mary. And it takes a lot for a God who is so divine, so almighty, so sovereign, to be kept in mother's womb, Mary's womb, all these months until the time when he was delivered, and go through proper birth, not cesarean, but go through the birth canal of the woman in order to experience what every baby experienced. So God chose it, and he prepared. I believe I like to think in that way, he must have spoken to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, Trinity in heaven. We're going to do something, right? We have sent my servant Moses, I've sent my servant Joshua, everyone, but they denied. Now I'm going to send you, Jesus, down to the earth, and truly chose very human way. It doesn't just appear that Jesus appeared, but go through the many months of pregnancy and then go through the birth canal, the most the normal way of a baby to be birthed. And he came. Right? So Jesus, God himself did it that way. He said in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent. He was first sent down to pronounce, to give the good news to a virgin betrothed to a man named David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And behold, verse 31 says, you will conceive. The angel pronounced this news. You will bear a child. She is a virgin before Jesus was born. you will receive, you will conceive in your womb. That means Jesus will be born through the womb, in the womb, and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David. I stress it's because many of us are parents and many mothers here. Mary gone through difficult time of pregnancy, during the many months of pregnancy, carrying baby Jesus in her womb. And when Jesus was born, miracle happens. I was told that I was born a very huge baby. Thank God that I shrunk. I was born, they told me in pounds during that time. I was an 11-pound baby. It was huge. And my mom gone through very difficult time in order to let me out of the birth canal into the world. I was told that when I came out, I was like a little calf, a baby's calf, so huge that, and my mother suffered a lot during the pregnancy. Actually, after a few months, my father's business failed, and they say that I'm a jinx, bad luck, bring bad luck to the family, and she wanted to abort me, right? But doctor found out that it was too late for abortion. So because of that threatened pregnancy, the Chinese believe you have to take lots of good herb, Chinese herb, good chicken, whatever, and everything that a mom consumes is supposed to be, I get it. So I came out, huge baby. I told my mom, it's not my fault. You feed yourself with so much. But it came out with difficulty. And I believe the moment when Jesus, human as he, God, he's God, yet he go to the birth canal and came out of the birth canal, and he must be like what we see our children coming out, right? A real baby crying. And God himself, such a mighty, holy God, chose to come out from a mother's womb. And that's the greatest joy, how God prepares in preparation for his son to come out. He go through everything. And baby Jesus was in the mother's womb for so many months, swimming in the mother's womb until the water bag burst. Then he came out. This Christmas, I pray that we will think how much it takes God to humble himself, to degrade himself, to downgrade himself, to be born as man. And for what? In order to save us. Man has gone astray far away. And God awaits us to him. Verse 33. And the angels answered Mary, because Mary said, how can I? I am a virgin. But the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, Son of God. There's no change in the deity of Jesus Christ. He's still the Holy Son of God. The Most High come overshadow you. Therefore, the child that you carry will be called Jesus. And we know that for 33 years, Jesus has gone through normal human activities, and he did it because he wants us to know that he knows, he experienced what every one of us experienced, suffering, pain. During funerals, many of the funerals that I did for our Hokkien worship service, people, and one word I always encouraged them, because Jesus himself understood what grieving is, what suffering is, right? He himself went to the home of Mary and Martha when Lazarus passed on. And Jesus is able to do that in our life. Whatever circumstances we are in, he's born to be our Savior, to be our God, and he understands everything that we go through. There's nothing that he doesn't know. He knows every single thing that happens to us. In preparation for the Savior to come, gone through everything so that Jesus will be born, he will be called Son of God. There's no change in Jesus' deity. He's still God, and he's still the Son of God, and he's still man, so that you can understand. And my last point, thirdly, God's love in action. After going through the many months of in the mother's womb, in Mary's womb, he came out, and the word that was given In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 to 23, she will bear a son. The virgin will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will what? He will save his people from their sin. Bondages, whatever happens, he will save people from their sin. And this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child. Impossible. Impossible. But yet the virgin, untouched by man, untouched by human, she shall be with child and shall bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated God with us. And this is the message of Christmas that we need to tell many people out there. God is with us. And when God is with us, we will have the four virtues of the Advent candle: joy, love, hope, and peace. And this is what truly the world needs. But what is our response to him? Christmas becomes a time happy. It's not wrong to be happy. In fact, we should merrymaking. It's the birth of Christ. I remember when I was very, very young, I used to stay in Tanjung Katong. And opposite our place is the Queen of Peace, Roman Catholic Church. And every Christmas, you'll see me queuing up to get gifts from the priest, the father. And sometimes we get little soldiers. We are so happy because the church learns to give. And the Roman Catholic Church, Queen of Peace, or Mother of Peace, I can't remember, give. And we queue up just to receive a simple little toy soldier. But it thrills me very much. Thrills me. But now I realize that God's greatest gift is even greater what the Catholic priest had given me when I was a child. His son, Jesus Christ. And that makes me really, really want to share the gospel to everyone that I see, that God is with us. We need to hear his love, and we need to know that God is love. For those who know me, I always, always want to share the gospel to everyone that I know of. And this is the joy. This is the joy of Christmas. Do not be afraid to share the gospel with anyone. There's a song that says, "We are the reason that he gave his life. We are the reason that Jesus suffered and died to a world which remains us. He gave all he could to show us the reason to live." And I pray this afternoon, you're welcome home for Christmas. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that indeed we are the reason that you gave Jesus to us. We are the reason that Jesus suffered and he died to a world, including us, people like us, that was lost. God, you gave all you could to show us the reason to live. Amen.